Well, previously on Living Your True Self. Yeah, for those of you that were with us last Sunday morning, we got into this wonderful subject called Living Your True Self. And this is the second part. We're going to pick up right where we left off. But just to summarize what we went through, I don't know about you, but so often I hear online, in the media, people that I know, people that I work with, especially people that I work with, you know, they tend to say this thing out loud, and it kind of goes like this. Well, we all have to accept everyone for their true, authentic selves and accept their journey. Who's ever heard that one before, huh? You need to accept me and my journey so that I can live as my true, authentic self. And if not, you are a bleepity bleep. Fill in the blank. The point in that is that people everywhere are saying, I'm this, I'm that. It's all about me. It's all about how I feel on the inside. But you know what? Most of all of those labels that people like to identify themselves as, we'll call it, it's a false self. God says we're made in his image, right? So if we're made in God's image, whatever we think about ourselves is irrelevant, especially if it doesn't line up with what he says, right? Sometimes we can get tired, right? Especially when we try to prove ourselves before him through what we think our strengths are, our weaknesses, our accomplishments, our this, our that. I mean, we can go on and on and on here. We've looked at subjects similar to this. You know what? That's exhausting, right? That gets tiring. Especially born-again believers, when we try to put on a worldly mask, I'll call it, and try to identify ourselves with things that are of this world, that can get exhausting. So guess what? If we're exhausted in our Christian life, you know, it might be because we're trying to produce fruit without abiding in Christ. That's what it says in John chapter 15, verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you. It's really something. So, with that being said, a lot of people try to manufacture something that only flows from whatever it is in a worldly sense, right? But you know what? Living your true self means resting in your true identity. Your identification in the one Jesus Christ. It means that when condemnation tries to speak, you answer with what? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I mean, how much more simple can it get? It means when shame tries to define you, and let's face it, it does. There's this difference between guilt and shame that kind of just popped into my head. Guilt means I've done something wrong, but shame tells you that you are something wrong. And guess what? That's an adversarial tactic, time and time again. You are anything but what God says about who you are. That's what shame tries to tell you. You are anything but what God says you are. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. So he carried all of it so that you and I would not be defined by it. It means that when we fail, we don't collapse into an identity crisis. Okay? Because it is by grace we are saved, not by works. Now, if we had to spend all of our time proving ourselves worthy before God, we would never be accepted into heaven. It just wouldn't happen. So we must return to who we truly are. I don't know if you remember this, but we took a look at the mystery, right? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, talks about, Paul mentions the mystery, right? Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory does not mean heaven one day and that's it. I mean, that's part of it, of course. But it also means that transformation happens now. Right? When we confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10, we became what? A new creation. What's that verse? Got it written down here. Oh, we just don't have time for this whole entire subject. When I was sharing the first part about a week and a half ago, I have 8 pages of notes, and I only made it halfway through. Where is that verse? Not in Ephesians. Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now that is a breath of fresh air. I gotta tell you. When I try so hard to feel worthy and enough for just being alive, I tell you, it fails every time. Every single time, my efforts fail. But my identification in Christ trumps all of that. Let's see here, guys. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah, see guys, he works in you. Even the desire to obey comes from him. We try to conjure up just some desire to do the will of God with our own strength and our own abilities, it wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. So I want to remind you of something here, and I want you to ask yourself a simple question. And the question is this: am I living from my false self or from my true self, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory? The false self says a few different things. All right, we'll try. And here are just a few of the things that the false self may try to communicate to you. I am what I accomplish. Yep, there it is. But we know the truth. No, by grace we are saved, right? Not by works, but by grace. But the false self says that as long as I do enough, as long as I accomplish whatever I set out to accomplish in this life, then I'm good to go. But you know what the true self says to that? It says, I am who he says I am. Another thing that the false self says, if they leave, I am nothing. Talking about other people. If other people leave, then that is a direct reflection on me and my worth and who I am. I'll tell you, that's something I struggle with day in and day out. That is a very common, universal human experience. And it's a tricky one. It's very tricky because a lot of us have grown up in, I want to call them some sensitive environments with our families and our caretakers and things of that nature. But the true self says what? Christ in me is my security. Not those that are around me. The Christ in me is my security, because guess what? People will do all sorts of crazy things. Even us, we will do all sorts of crazy things. We will hurt each other. Unintentionally, maybe so, but I've said things to other brothers and sisters in Christ that have made them kind of turn their shoulders the other way, and vice versa. We're humans. We live in the five senses. We're not of the five senses now that we have eternal life, but we certainly live in the five senses, and we have freedom of will. So it's very hard to control your words. So our words have power over others. But luckily for someone who is so secure in their identification in Christ, you know, words may not mean all that much to them as much as it may mean to somebody else. All right. Something else that the false self might tell you: if I fail at anything, I am a failure. What's something I failed at today? I forgot my password at work. I forgot my computer password. My password to everything. Into my laptop, into my online grading system, where I take attendance, where I input grades, this, that, the other thing. I forgot my password. I failed to remember my password. Good thing I was able to reset it. But I failed. I failed to remember it. Silly me. That doesn't mean I'm a failure. That just means I'm human. And humans, we make mistakes. We use hurtful words towards one another. We are far from what is known as perfect. So guess what? Your true self says, I may have fallen, but I am still a son. I am still a daughter. And I'm still a child of God. How about Colossians? Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. I want to read you that those few verses. Colossians 1, verse 25. We'll start there. We'll go through verse 27. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This has to be one of the most well-written sections of Scripture in the whole entire Word of God. I'm not disparaging the rest of the word, because God's word is perfect, but something about this section just really hits it right on the mark. Because the more you meditate on Colossians chapter 1, the more it will reshape your entire life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do we know exactly what that means? Do we ourselves know the fullest potential of what that means? I don't think so, at least not yet. I think that's going to be a lifelong endeavor. But there's one thing that I do know. I know that it means that you are never alone. It means that our story is not random. It means that even our pain is not wasted, because Christ in you redeems it. Living our true selves is not about becoming louder. It's about becoming more surrendered, getting out of our own way. Just Let God be God. You know, quit trying so hard and let God be God. Who's ever heard of that before? Yeah, I'm sure we all have. It's really something. All right, what else do we have here? Let's see here. You know, it sounds so nice to say Christ in you, doesn't it? It's not poetic. I mean, it doesn't rhyme, but it sure does sound powerful. But I don't know, what does it actually look like on a Monday afternoon when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when someone misunderstands you, when life doesn't go the way you thought it would? Because living your true self is not just, it's not just some mind picture, right? It's a daily choice. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Yeah, I love that. You know, there's a version of us that wakes up every morning that is still tempted to live from fear. There's a version of us that wants to protect ourselves. You know, we want to defend ourselves. We want to prove ourselves, compare ourselves. You know what? That's the old pattern of the flesh. And there's another great truth that deals with this, and it's in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Paul says something here that's just so fascinating. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Yeah, I mean, the old man was crucified, but here's the difference. Here's the tension, I guess you could say. Crucifixion is a finished work. It was the finished work spiritually, but surrender is a daily experience in a practical sense, right? So when someone offends you, you know, your false self might want revenge, withdraw, or silent resentment, but you know what? Christ in you responds differently. When you feel overlooked, the false self panics, and it says, I need to make sure I'm seen. But Christ in you is secure enough to wait. And when you're tempted, the false self says, this will make me feel better. But the Christ in you whispers, you are already satisfied in me. Ooh. Living our true selves means that we pause long enough to ask, who is reacting right now? The old self, the false self, the old man, there's a bunch of names you could call it, same thing. Or is it my true self, the Christ in me? Now that question alone can kind of change your perspective a little bit. Because it says here in Galatians 5, verse 18, verse 16, I'm sorry. Getting late. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what? Walking implies movement, right? It implies rhythm and consistency. And it's not a sprint. It's not some emotional spike. It's a steady, ongoing thing. Sometimes we think that if we just worship harder, pray louder, fast longer, we will finally become who we're supposed to be. But you know what the truth is? You already are who you are supposed to be because of what Christ accomplished on our behalf. Spiritual disciplines are not about becoming someone new. They're about aligning with who is already inside of us. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So how did we receive him? By grace. By grace. Not by works, but by grace. Oh, I can go on and on and on here. But you know what? Let's close out here with another wonderful verse of scripture. Y'all know this one by heart. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I'll leave you with this, y'all. I'll leave you with this, guys. If you feel fragmented or disconnected or overwhelmed, whatever term you want to use, if you feel like you've been living in survival mode, I want to remind you of something. Your true self is not lost. It's just right there behind God and Christ in you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is living from your true self. All right, God bless you guys. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to have Christ in us. To be able to turn away from the old man and put on the new is just so fantastic. So we thank you for everything, Father. I just pray for each and every person on the line tonight and those who will listen later on, that you can continue to keep us on the right path of looking at life through the Christ in us, Father, and not our old self that tries to always come up to the surface, Father. Pray for these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.